about ministering to kids in a better environment, in a better way than we've ever done in this new wing over here. So remember that in your prayers, in your fasting time, in your prayer time. Include that and do your best to pray and believe and give, and we'll just give all the glory to God when it's done, huh? Amen. Amen. Hey, I've got a really a great message for us today. I actually wrote this about 3 weeks ago, and I was worried I wasn't even going to get to preach it. I forgot about all the other things we had scheduled on Sunday mornings, and I know it's after Christmas, and it's a little bit of a Christmas message, but not necessarily. Last time I spoke, we talked about you belong, and how the Christmas story talked about good news and peace on earth and joy to the world and a Savior. And if you were somebody that needed some joy and needed some peace and needed a Savior and hadn't had any good news in a while, then Jesus came for you. He came to change your world. He came to change your life. And we belong. And we talked about prejudice and how that, if we're not careful, we can pick on each other and exclude each other. We talked about race, and we talked about short and fat and skinny and tall and blondes and brunettes, or whatever we would pick on where we thought somebody didn't belong, somebody's not holy enough, somebody's too holy, you know, all that stuff, the white sheep, the black sheep of the family. If we're not careful, we could just pick on each other. No matter what, we can find something to pick on each other about if we're not careful. One of our values here is we love diversity. We're challenged on that value quite often. Anybody except me, are you challenged on the value of loving diversity? I'm challenged on that occasionally. It's like, I love my kind of diversity, but I'm not sure I like your kind of diversity. And I want you to love my diversity, but I'm struggling loving some of yours sometimes. But we have our gifts and our talents and our amazing stuff, and then we have our negative stuff. We just talked about it doesn't matter. You belong. You're God's kids. We love you. You're my brothers and you're my sisters, and I'm your brother. And we just need to love each other and know that the Christmas message is just really about everybody gets in if they want in. Everybody belongs if they want to belong. Nobody's excluded. There's not a sin that can exclude you. There's not a social condition that can exclude you. There's not an economic condition that can exclude you. There's not a physical handicap that can exclude you. There's nothing that can exclude you. You belong. And so today is kind of a follow-up on that. And it's called You Belong with a second word, Emmanuel. And in Matthew chapter 1, verse 23, the angel says, you'll call his name Emmanuel, or he will be called Emmanuel, which means what? God with us. God with us. Well, that's a whole lot better than looking for Nirvana out there somewhere. That's a whole lot better than us trying to find God. God's trying to find us. Man, all the other religions of the world, people are trying to find God. But don't you know that in the true, the only true religion in the world, everything else is a counterfeit. The only true religion in the world, God is seeking you. He's chasing you. He loves you. That's awesome, isn't it? That's so awesome. And God coming to the planet physically is crazy. The incarnation, God became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory. Glory as of the only begotten Son of God. It's crazy that he came to be with us. So we want to talk a little bit about God is with you. Physically, yeah, but his heart is with you too. Do you know that his heart is with you, for you, for you. If we're not careful, we can read John 3:16 just quickly and go, yeah, right. God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, whoever believeth him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Yeah, right. We know that. It's at the football games, right? It's in the end zone, John 3:16. People's holding up a sign. We know that. But that first piece, God so loved the world. His heart is for you. It's with you. Doesn't Christmas shout that out to us? God is with you. He didn't just physically show up and then disappear 33 years later. No, he's with you now. Jesus really carefully said, it's expedient that I go away. Oh, I thought you were going to be with me. Yeah, I'm going away, but here's the cool thing. It's really necessary that I go away, because when I go away, I'm sending back the third person of the Trinity, the Holy Spirit, and he's going to be with you, and he's going to be in you, and he's going to teach you, he's going to comfort you. You ever thought about what we needed a comforter for if nothing ever goes bad? It's like, oh God, things are bad. You must not love me. Why? No, he said, I'm sending you a comforter. I know things are going to go bad sometimes. That's why I'm sending you a comforter. I'm sending him to you. Sometimes we're a little too idealistic. I'm the biggest duck in that puddle right here. I am Mr. Idealistic. And we think that if things are going bad, and if there's wars and rumors of wars, and bad things are happening on the planet, that God must not be with us anymore. No, he said, I'm with you. I am totally with you. I will comfort you. I will help you. I will do that for you. So he's with us. Emmanuel refers both to Jesus' deity, God with us. It's a deity. He's God. But it also refers to his identification with us and his nearness to us. Jesus looked at his disciples and the crowd around him one day, and he said, the kingdom of God is within you. In Romans it says, the kingdom of God is nigh you. That's a good old King James word. It's near you. It's nigh you, even in your mouth. I think that's Romans 10, where we got to confess the Lord Jesus as our Savior. The kingdom is right in your mouth. It's near you. You just got to believe and say it, confess it, and receive it. God's with you. He's not somewhere out there beneath the pale moonlight. He's not there. He's with you. He's here. Corinthians teaches us that our body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. I'm going to read in Hebrews here in a little bit, where we can come boldly into the throne of his presence because of Jesus. There's no more division or wall of separation between us and God. Emmanuel, he's with us. He really is with us. How is he with us? Is it only a past thing when he was physically present in a human body? Or is he still with us today? He's still with us today, right? When Jesus left, he promised he would send back his Holy Spirit, and he's done that. I hope you've received the fullness of the Holy Spirit. You get the Holy Spirit when you're saved, because he's drawing you into salvation. We know what the Bible says about that. But the Bible also teaches us you can be baptized in the Holy Spirit. You can be immersed. You can be totally filled. And then the Bible also teaches us you need to be refilled and refilled and refilled. It's like I filled up my coffee cup, but I got to keep refilling it. You know what I mean? I don't like coffee, but I think I'm going to start learning to like coffee. Oh, Joe. Here, Mom. Oh, Joe. I don't know. I'm going to try. I know I got some of that Kelly Lineberry genetics in me. Dad used to drink a half a gallon every day and then steal stuff out of other people's thermoses too. I don't know, but it don't matter what you drink, you know you got to refill it. You know you got to refill it. Some stuff just evaporates. Other stuff, you use it up. But you need to be refilled with the Holy Spirit. Refilling is just kind of a, I'm coming into His presence again. I'm just going to love on Him again. I'm just going to ask Him, could you just touch me again, Lord? And He's just going to fill me up again. We should be overflowing with the presence of God. We should be doing that. So God is present through the Holy Spirit to enlighten us and protect us and defend us and hang out with us. God is much more interested in a habitation versus a visitation. Now I got to camp right there for just a little bit. God is much more interested in a habitation with you than just a visitation. God doesn't want just weekend visitation rights in your life. He doesn't want child custody on the weekend. That isn't what He wants, just Sunday morning. He wants a habitation with you. He wants to live with you. He doesn't just want to date you occasionally. You're His bride, and He wants to spend all day, every day with you. It's hard for us guys to think we're the bride of Christ, but we are. We are. He's the groom, and we're the bride of Christ. And it's just a symbol of how He cherishes us. His heart is with us. Is your heart with your bride? Hopefully. I know this isn't marriage counseling, but your heart, on your wedding day, was your heart with your bride? Has there been moments between then and now that your heart has just been with your bride? And I know we have our challenging moments. I'm pretty sure God has a couple challenging moments with us too, don't you? Don't you think He's going, Kelly, Kelly, Kelly? And if He says your name three times, you know you're in trouble, right? Martha, Martha, Martha. You know how He did that in the Bible. I'm sure there's times He does that. Goes, you're so silly, but I love you anyway. I'm sure He does that a lot. Probably right now He's doing that. Say, come on, get on with the sermon, dude. You're the bride of Christ. His heart is with you. He loves you. I remember Kari and I, when we were dating, we were high school sweethearts. And when we were dating, we would, every class break, we'd get together and hang out. I don't know how long it was between the classes, but 3 minutes or whatever, and you run to your locker and grab your other book, and you have 3 minutes. And we'd meet at each other's lockers, and we'd hang out, and we'd hold hands, and we'd depart, you know, and get there before we're tardy, you know. And after school, we'd go to football practice or whatever we were doing, cheerleading practice, and I was a cheerleader. And she, no, that's not right, no. I was in football, she was a cheerleader, and then I would give her a ride home, and we would just hang out and enjoy each other's presence, and I'd drive her up into Whispering Pines up in Pierce and drop her off, and then I'd drive downtown to where we lived, and as soon as I got in the house, I'd call her up on the phone. It's crazy. Some of you are going, yeah, my kid's doing that, or I remember doing that. Actually, Alice's garage code is the same as their Pierce phone number. And Carrie and I have been married 32 years, and I still remember that number. I'm not going to tell you what it is, but I remember that number. And that's how God feels about you. He's just as totally infatuated with you. Emmanuel, God with us. He really is interested in a habitation instead of a visitation with your life. We belong to Him. He belongs to us. In that incarnation, God combined humanity with divinity And I think one of the things that you and I should know about that is we're compatible. You and I are compatible with God. We actually are made in His image and likeness. I don't know if you knew that. I don't know if you guys have heard that or not. But you are made in God's image and likeness. Emmanuel, He's with us. He loves us. His heart is with us. He combined divinity and humanity and became flesh and hung out with us. And He showed us, I am totally compatible with you. If we're not careful in religion, we can make people feel like they're not compatible with God. We can make people feel like they're second class, don't fit in, not holy enough, they're never gonna, never coulda, never woulda. If we're not careful, religion can do that. But I think Christmas and the Bible and Christianity should let you and I know you and I are totally compatible with God. Totally. And I know that our flesh is not untainted. We have original sin because of Adam and Eve dwelling in our flesh. Sin is not compatible with God, right? But He has the solution for that. He's already taken care of sin, don't you think? Don't you think that that's already been taken care of? Yeah, you need to repent and confess and get victory over sin. But don't ever think that you and God aren't compatible. Your sin is not compatible, and it will mess you up. But Emmanuel means God's with you, and He's hanging out with you. You know, I went to a bar the other night. Two preachers walked into a bar. That sounds like the start of a joke, doesn't it? Two preachers went into a bar. But actually, one of the bar owners contacted me and said, we did an ugly sweater contest, and we have some food for the food bank. Would you come pick it up? And I'm thinking, I'm going to be back in town on Christmas Eve because we have the Christmas Eve service, so I'll swing by in the daylight and pick it up. But I forgot. So it's 9:30 at night. And all through the house, not a creature was stirring, not even a mouse. And so Kari and I go tooling into the bar, and everybody's looking at us kind of funny. And we just say, hi, how you doing? Merry Christmas, want to wish you. And I think some of them thought, oh, they're coming in for a Christmas sermon, you know. I think they thought Jesus told them to come get us. It's Christmas Eve. But we were just there connecting with the people who donated food for their neighbors. And we said, hey, we're here to pick up food. They, oh, yeah, it's over there in the corner. And so we grabbed it and we said, hey, thank you. Thanks for thinking about the community. Thanks for the things that you do for our community. God bless you guys. Have a Merry Christmas. And walked out the door. But I think God was with me. I don't think God stood on the sidewalk when I went in the bar. I'm pretty sure He was still with me. In fact, He was probably in there before I got there. I'm not saying we should all go hang out in the bar. I'm just saying you are totally compatible with God. God's not intimidated by anything you are or say or do. He loves you. He's with you. In our daily Bible reading, a few days ago, we're reading about Jesus weeping over Jerusalem. He was physically present. He was going to die on a cross in a couple days for them. He's done miracles all around them. And yet He knows they're going to say, crucify Him, away with Him. We don't want Him. And He knows that that sin of rejecting Him, they will pay dearly for. And He didn't say, Good enough for you. You deserve it. But he wept. And he wept. And he cried. And he said, oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, if you would have only known that I was with you. He said, if you would have only known the day of your visitation. I visited you, and I wanted to habitate with you, but you rejected me. And that's really what sin is. It says, God's offered me this, but I want to choose that instead. And after you're on the other side of that whole experience, you're going, God has so much better things for me than the sinful things ever did for me. Anybody testify to that? I mean, I don't know anybody that said, you know, that one sin was probably better than anything Jesus ever gave me. I've never heard that testimony. You know, I'm glad I gave up the adultery thing because, you know, I was really getting tired of penicillin. And I'm really glad I gave up that alcohol thing because my liver feels so much better. And I'm really glad. But you know, that one sin, I just wish I could still have that one back. No, everything Jesus has for you is so much better than sin. And he just says, I'm with you. I'm for you. My heart's with you. I love you. I love you. So he created us in his image and likeness. We are totally compatible with God. You and I are. Hebrews 4:16 says we can boldly come right into his presence. I love that verse. In Hebrews it says, the Old Testament was this way, and the Old Covenant, this is how we had to act. And this was our access to God. But in the New Covenant that Jesus came and gave us, now we boldly come right into the presence of God. We say, hey, Dad, I'm home. Honey, I'm home. We just boldly come into his presence because we're compatible. He's with us. We're accepted. Ephesians 1 says, you and I are accepted in the Beloved. We're totally accepted. We don't need invitations. We don't need to knock and wait and qualify ourselves somehow. Jesus already qualified you. He already qualified you. Revelations chapter 3:20 talks about a door and somebody standing on the outside knocking, but it's not you. Who's standing on the outside knocking? Jesus is. He says, I'm already for you, and I'm already compatible with you, and I already want to be habitating with you, not visiting you, and I'm knocking on the door. Will you let me in? Hey, Kelly, will you let me in? And the picture of God and Christianity and our relationship is not you and I knock, knock, knocking on heaven's door. Knock, knock, knocking on heaven's door. Get a drug-induced song like that going. Oh, knock, knock, knocking. Come on, let me in, Jesus. That's not the way it works. Anybody ever heard him sing that song? Oh, was it Rose Axtell or whoever sings that song? Guns N' Roses. What's the dude's name? Axl Rose. Hey, I was close. I just was dyslexic. It's kind of a cool song if you don't know the Bible. It kind of has a nice sentiment. But the reality is it's Jesus knocking on your door saying, I'm for you and I want to be with you and I love you and I'm Emmanuel. Let me in. Let me in. Is Jesus in your driveway? Is he on your porch? Or have you opened the door and let him in? God, you can hang out in the living room, but don't go into my bedroom. Don't go into the master bathroom. Don't go into the basement. We just, you and I will hang out in the formal living room. He says, why don't you just let me in your entire life? Because I'm Emmanuel. I'm with you. I'm for you. My heart's with you. I'm not against you. We're compatible. Let me in. Let me in. He's the one knocking on our door. God does not oppose us. He's at peace with us. He's with us. He's in covenant with us. That word covenant's crazy cool. I know it's not a word that we use today. You want to walk up and say, hey, you want to get in covenant with me? We don't do that today. It's not a cool word like that. But in the Bible, it's such a cool word. Covenant is, I've already agreed. I've already done this. I'm never going back. I'm in covenant with you. You can't do anything to break this. I'm in covenant with you. God's in covenant with us. He's Emmanuel. He's with us. He's for us. His heart's for us. John 1:14 says that Jesus is the Word, and the Word was made flesh, and He dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory. Some see God as high above us. Others see Him as a God who is against us. But Christmas and the Bible declares that He is the God who's with us. Above us, certainly. Certainly. But not above us to where we can't reach Him. We can't access Him. Not that kind of above us. Higher than us? Yes. Is He God and we're His creation? Yes. Or will we ever be God? No. We will always be His creation. There's some doctrines out there like that. But no, He's God. Yes. But He's with us. He loves us. We're made in His image and likeness. That's just really cool. So I got to stop. I'm all wound up today. Christmas turkey's having an effect on me or something. I don't know. Have you beheld His glory? See, when John was writing that verse under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, he was saying, God became flesh. We dwelt with Him and He dwelt among us. We beheld His glory. John was speaking an experience. I mean, I saw the fish thing that he did that first day. Now that was cool. And he said, would you come follow me and I'll make you fishers of men? That was a very cool day. I mean, we'd fished all night. We had caught nothing. And we were just, we got everything all cleaned up and ready to go out next time. And Jesus shows up and He starts talking. We're going, man, I need to go to bed. I've been working all night. But He's talking and He's talking. And finally, Peter lets Him get in the ship and they go out and He's talking some more. But the more He talks, the more I'm feeling compelled. I'm feeling like I know this guy. I'm feeling like He's saying things that are deep stirring in my heart. And all of a sudden, He said, let the nets down on the other side. And Peter said what all of us were thinking. Peter said, Lord, we've been fishing all night. There ain't no fish here. And Jesus said, nevertheless, put your nets down. And they put their nets down, and they came up with a load of fish that was breaking the net. And then Peter called to me and James, we were on the shore, and he said, guys, get your boat, come on out and help us. And so we went out and we helped him, and both boats almost sank before we could get them to shore. There were so many fish. We'd never caught that many fish in our life. We beheld His glory. Oh, it didn't stop there. We were on the Mount of Transfiguration, and it was just three of us, Peter and James and John, and Jesus said, come on up a little higher. Anytime Jesus says, come up a little higher, you ought to follow Him. So we came on up a little higher, and on that mountain, God showed up. I mean, the Father God showed up. And the glory of God shone around. And then this Moses and Elijah appeared. And they talked about what was going to be happening next. And, of course, Peter piped up again and said, let's build three tabernacles. But, hey, that was just Peter. And so John, when John's writing this, John's saying, we experienced God. And I hope when you read that verse, when you think about Emmanuel, God is with us, I hope you experience his glory. This God that we're serving, he's not a God that used to do things and a God that we just have to mentally adjust ourselves to doing what he taught in an old book called the Bible. He's with us today. And we should still be beholding his glory today. I'm looking for 2015 to be a year when I see more of the glory of God than I've ever seen before. When I experience more than I've ever experienced before. And I've experienced some crazy, amazing things. We could talk about that the rest of the day. But there's more. And I'm hungry for more. But he's with us. Do you feel accepted? Do you feel loved? Do you feel wanted? Do you feel forgiven? Do you feel like you're healed? Are you experiencing healing? Are you being restored? He's with you to do all of that. Has he set you free? Do you feel like you're alive for the first time? You're alive. I hope you experience all of that. We beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of what? Huh? Mercy and truth, right? Grace and truth. Grace and mercy. A couple of those things. We beheld all of that. Many have experienced deliverance, restoration, peace, salvation, acceptance, and miracles of every sort. Today, people have experienced that. My question is, have you? Have you experienced salvation? Well, I'm in church. That doesn't mean you're saved. My pastor used to say, going to church doesn't make you saved any more than sleeping in a barn makes you a Jersey cow. Just because you're in church doesn't mean you're saved. Have you experienced salvation? What's that mean? That means your sin burden has been removed. That heaviness, that confusion has been lifted off of you. And you have purpose and direction. And you feel connected to your Creator. Are you saved? Have you experienced salvation, miracles, healings, acceptance? I hope so. Do you know that you belong? Do you know that God is with you? Do you know that you are not alone, that you are someone full of value and beautiful? Do you know, maybe you're handsome, I don't know. Do you know that about yourself? God came to be with you. Are you with him? Have you opened the door? I want to swing open all of the doors of my life and let him in everywhere and everything. Make him Lord. The last blank in your notes is, let him fill your entire life. Let him fill your entire life. Amen. Let's pray for a moment together. God, you are with us. That's true. That is a physical, spiritual reality. And yet, sometimes there's a gap between our experience and what you say. And Lord, I ask you to close that gap. Maybe some today need salvation. They just say, God, I'm sorry. Forgive me of all of my sin. Come into my life. Be my Lord. I will follow you. Lord, maybe somebody has that gap. Maybe people have a gap regarding the Holy Spirit. I ask you to fill in that gap. Maybe people have a gap. They just have not seen your glory. They don't feel like any of their prayers have ever been answered, and they've never experienced you. God, fill in that gap. Lord, I just thank you that today you're going to be doing that. And in this coming year, you're going to be doing that. Lord, fill in the gap between the truth and our experience so that we can experience the truth. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. If you guys would get your Connect card out today, we're going to give you a chance to be prayed for in just a minute. And I encourage you to come get prayed for today. Your Connect card, we'd like you all to fill this out.